Today's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by Casper. I love my Casper mattress. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for over a year now. We even have some Casper pillows and sheets. Even Nicole likes them. And believe me, it is not often when I see my wife smiling in that room, and even she is so happy with this Casper mattress because it's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Over at Casper, they've got an in-house team of engineers who've spent thousands of hours developing the Casper mattress. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foam for a sleep surface that's got just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. Plus, it's a breathable design to help you sleep cool in those hot summer months and help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free, just like the people on the team that's safe for this week of HOH. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. That's like a whole season of Big Brother. If you don't love it, they pick it up and refund you everything. Time magazine has named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. The critically acclaimed Casper mattress. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. The Casper mattress is also made in America. So go ahead and get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Rob and use the promo code Rob. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead and check out the most coveted bed there is, the Casper mattress. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who is very fired up to talk about an episode of TV tonight that, much like Tiffany's nominee speech, started off great and really ended up going off the cliff by the end. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an eviction night that really had high expectations around 9:40 or so Eastern time. And really, things have gone in a bad direction. And Pauly?
Thank you for that, actually.
No thank you for that, actually. Winning HOH, screwing up the plans of the entire house. Here with me to talk about it all is the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing great. I've been in Vegas all week long. I missed a little bit of Big Brother. I came back last night to see what was a great night of feeds, only for it to end in the last 20 minutes. It's like it all slipped away from us. We were so close. I want to talk about it.
Right there.
Yes.
We missed it by that much.
Foiled again.
Again, these live Big Brother nights, you go into them with high expectations. You know, you should always forget expect the unexpected, expect the worst with these live shows. I think we're gonna have a good crowd here tonight watching our live recap here on robhasawebsite.com. Hashtag RHAP. We want to get your reactions, and then also on the YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. I don't think there's going to be anything to spoil from the live feed, so I think that we're all on board here the whole way through. No need for a spoiler section tonight because we have our new HOH. It is Pauly for the second time this season, hoping to get in his HOH basket.
My brother Cody.
Yes, hoping that. What was it that he asked for, Brent? He said, "Hey, Julie, can I get a snapback? What does he want? He wants Cody to Snapchat him."
I'm not even sure what he was asking for. I was totally lost. I think he was wanting them to smuggle in or kidnap a family member and bring it to him. It was totally nonsensical, and I didn't even care what he had to say. You could see that the entire house was just angry about the events, and they just couldn't let it out. They wanted to rant and rave about Pauly being the HOH because now Frank is safe, but they can't say anything in front of a live show. So let's talk about
it. Okay, all right, we'll talk about it all, and we'll want to hear from you as well. Okay, so let's get into it. And Scott is saying that a snapback is a hat. Why does he want a hat? Doesn't he have a hat?
I thought he was talking about like following you back on Snapchat or something. Isn't that a snapback?
I don't.
Somebody help me out. I'm 41 years old. I don't know this language.
Yeah, well, I don't get it. Why does he need a hat? Hey, Rob, I need a hat. for my HOH, because I'm HOH again. That's right. So get me more hats. How can I get another hat if I don't get an HOH?
All right. Apparently it's a hat. The chat room is telling me it's a hat. I'm obviously too old.
Yeah. Need a hat. Okay. All right. You know what we needed? Paulie.
What, Rob?
We need Frank to go up on the block. Now what the hell is going to happen, Brent?
Well, you know what? I'm not putting on the tinfoil hat. It's just awesome that for the first time.
I gotta put on my tinfoil snapback right now. Hold on a second. Okay.
Oh, we got an HOH competition that you really couldn't throw. I mean, they couldn't see what other people were doing. Someone said, oh, well, last week's HOH competition was a solo competition as well. No, it wasn't, because you could see what everybody else was doing. And if it was a solo competition, Natalie would have won because she went like umpteen times and got the number 21. So I don't want to hear about it. This week was the first week where you really were flying blind in an HOH competition. And I don't love it that Polly won. On the other hand, it's a live show. He doesn't know what's going on. And, you know, he knows that Frank is still in. So he doesn't know what to do. He's
okay,
probably
what's
like a deer
the
in
worst
headlights.
Case scenario if Frank wins? Why is he trying to go for it? If Frank wins, he's safe too.
I don't, you know, Rob, the funny part is when Paulie won, I jumped up and down for a second. Like for about 5 seconds, I was happy that Frank lost. And then it dawned on me. So, you know, someone like Paulie, who doesn't even know the game, I have to figure he's doing the same thing. Like, oh, I won. Oh, I won. Like, how did this happen? Yeah.
He was a big part of the plan. That doesn't he want to take out Frank?
I mean, it's not as big of a deal for him as it is for the rest of the house. You know, the interesting part is that some other people who are playing a decidedly good game, like Paul and Natalie, now may be in danger with Paulie in power, whereas ordinarily I don't think they would have been.
Well, you have to think that Paul is not going to be the target of Paulie. Haven't they been working very closely together? And hasn't, unless like Paul's spot gets completely blown up to Paulie, you have to feel like he's going to be safe this week. So who is ultimately Paulie going to target? This is such a wasted HOH.
Well, who's going to be eligible for nomination? I mean, I think there's 7 or 8 people eligible for nomination. 3 people have to go on the block. I think Paul is likely to be one of those people, since the 8-pack, at least in some fashion, is still functioning. And, you know, anybody within the 8-pack is going to say, well, I don't want to go up on the block. I'm a member of the Alliance. It should be Paul. So I think there's a chance he may not go up as the target, but he may go up as a nominee.
Yeah. This is, to me, Brent, this is Frankie Grande winning Battle of the Block when Beast Mode Cowboy sat down on the ground. Like, you got to do it yourself, Frankie. At the end of the day, it's up to you. And then he won it, and they didn't go home, and then they missed the window of opportunity.
Okay, look, I told everyone on Twitter I was looking for my veil and my hat, but I decided not to put it on because this is not a truly momentous night. Rob, if Frank had been evicted, you know what would have happened next week. He would have come right back in the house with the Battle Back competition.
But still,
now
that would have been good TV, Brent.
Oh, well, I know I miss my good TV too, but I don't like my good TV being interrupted by bad TV and having to watch Frank come back into the house like he owns the place. So now he doesn't get the chance of a buyback with the Battle Back competition. And there's still a chance he could go out pre-jury because there'll be 10 people. I'm sorry. There'll be 12 people in the house in after next week. And hopefully Frank will be eliminated and doesn't even get to be a part of the jury.
I'm telling
and
you.
And yes,
this,
I'm anti-Frank.
This house
sorry.
Was a powder keg. It was ready to explode before Paulie had to go win HOH, right?
So who are you blaming? Are you blaming
yes,
Paulie, or are
yes.
you blaming... I'm blaming the producers. The producers. This is a stupid twist. It's
okay.
A stupid twist.
Whatever, but it's been like, the twist the whole time. They know the rules. Paulie, Brent, I'm furious. I'm Califurious.
Great.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I literally do feel like the... I feel like the producers are up there watching this and they're going like the Emperor in Return of the Jedi, like everything is proceeding how I have foreseen it. Seriously, because now Frank is safe for another week and they know it's driving all of us crazy.
That's their ultimate goal, is to make us nuts. It's so frustrating. It really is, because
it really is.
Yeah, all these people. Everybody
so
that's working
know, right?
against Frank. I mean, I feel like even Frank winning HOH, I feel like that would have been an exciting week. I wouldn't be as mad if we came on here and Frank had won HOH, because it would have been Frank back against the wall with an HOH, really just like basically like the end of Scarface with like, you know, say hello to my little friend and going after right. everybody. That would have been good. But this is
that
sort of
been good.
This is sort of like now Frank is like, hey, you know, hey, I'm safe, you know, it just right. really to me would have been like ain't no thing for me, Frank. And now he gets to, you know, he's safe for the whole week. They can't even get him with the roadkill. And now I think that there's a non-zero possibility. Tiffany goes out this week. Devon goes out this week. Like, I think that one of the people that really bounced back this week has a decent shot to go out this week now, Brent.
Oh, I think Tiffany is definitely in some danger. I mean, Polly was the last one to come on board. And, you know, we're going to talk about the editing tonight. They did an admirable job, but not a perfect job. And the one thing that really sealed it for Polly was the fact that he knew they had the numbers without him. So that he eventually came on board and realized, okay, I might as well get on board with you guys. I see where you're going with this. Bronte would put me and Corey up on the block. So let's get on board. But it wasn't like he was there leading the charge for it.
Okay, well, let's talk through the story of the week. And then we'll get back into looking forward into what Paulie is going to do with this HOH. So it looked this first as though they were going to tell the version of the story really, which was going to be through Tuesday night, which we had Vanessa on the podcast. I'm sure she is thrilled tonight. I saw her say on Twitter, she lost her voice because she was screaming so loud when Tiffany stayed in the house. So, you know, I'm sure she's celebrating somewhere tonight. Maybe it's a short celebration based on how this next week could go, but she's pumped up and we had a fun podcast with her, but it looked like that they were just going to tell that version of the story where Devon had saved Tiffany. But we got, I think, really a pretty faithful telling of the events of the house. Brent, how did you see it?
Everything was on point, except for the fact that, you know, I wanted them to give Michelle a little bit more credit because I do believe Michelle, the super fan, was the impetus for everything finally going in the direction that most of the fans wanted, in that they wanted to keep Tiffany in the house this week. The one thing that the show left out was that eventually later on today, and I understand why they couldn't edit this in, the five of them, the two showmances plus Michelle, did tell James and Devon about the plan. And then he eventually told Natalie, as you heard, Bronte said she found out 20 minutes before eviction. I think Frank and Bridget were the only two people who really didn't know what was going on. And maybe Paul, I'm not so sure about him. But James and Devon were in on the plan, even if James didn't vote the same way as everybody else. They wanted it to be 5-4 for two reasons. For one reason, Rob. Two words, plausible deniability. You heard Nicole at the end of the episode denying to Frank that she had voted Bronte out of the house, even though we know she did. She said previously in the week that she was just going to deny. So it's going to be interesting. Nicole is not a great liar. You saw that tonight with Devon, that most people can see right through her. So I think she's doing herself more harm than good. We saw this in Big Brother Canada where people lie and then they get caught. And sometimes the cover-up is worse than the actual crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that everybody was talking a big game because they expected that Frank was going to be on the block. And now I feel like that the rats are all going to start scurrying now, Brent. They're all going to kowtow back and say exactly, come running back to Frank about what they did.
Right. And it didn't have to be this way. You know, my issue with everyone's gameplay this week is their wishy-washiness and their apparent inability to say no to someone telling them to do something. All they had to do was go to Frank and say, you know what? We really don't find Tiffany all that threatening compared to Bronte. We find Bronte inherently more threatening. So we'd like to get her out and we'll get Tiffany, you know, down the line, maybe next week. Frank would have put up a fight. Okay, but he would have eventually acquiesced to them. Instead, they blindsided Frank. Now he doesn't know who to trust. They made a total mess of things, and now they're going to have to cover up. Because now Frank's safe. You saw his expression at the end. It was so funny. I don't know if you heard him during the HOH competition. He was the one that yelled out, come on!
Yes,
like
yes.
He was like Leighton Hewitt at the Australian Open. And seriously. And then he's safe now. And his expression totally changed. He was worried. Now he was all smiles yeah. at the end with Bridget.
That
would have
been fun, that
fine.
Frank that was yelling at everybody. I mean, if he becomes HOH with his back against the wall, I think that would have been really exciting feeds to see. Now he's just safe. And he doesn't have to do it, get any blood on his hands.
It would have been great because he would have been HOH and he would have been trying to figure out, okay, which one of you turned on me? It was a 5-4 vote. Like, seriously, it was actually a 7-2 vote. That's what really happened. But they were really living dangerously here, trying to make it 5-4 so that they had some deniability to Frank when he asked them, you know, did you vote Tiffany out? Did you vote Tiffany out? And they all said, oh, yeah, yeah, we all. I thought it was funny at the end. You saw the entire house was acting upset that Tiffany stayed, like it was a 9-0 voter. Something to evict her when 5 of them voted to evict Bronte.
Yeah, Michelle was a big Mish, really a coming out party for her, and she looked especially angry.
Yeah, I love it. That was a total giveaway. Her stomping into the bathroom there. That was great. I was living for that. You know what? Here's the thing. It wasn't executed perfectly. You can take your issue with Tiffany's speech and how it went downhill at the end. But I give them tons of credit for trying to pull off a big move, trying to do a blindside, and giving me a speech that was a lot better than a bunch of bad jokes and talking about friendship.
Well, let's talk about the Tiffany speech thing, because I think puts her in an interesting position now, where she came out and I did pull it just so we can relive it. And again, it starts off really good here.
House guests. So as we've seen over the past few weeks, dictatorships rarely work out for the dictators in this house.
I agree.
And this week is no different.
No different.
In fact, let's talk about the dictator this week.
Yes.
He was trying so hard to get me out.
He was.
He was up late nights, early mornings. Got to give him an A-plus effort, actually.
Okay, so far so good.
But there was one small flaw in his master plan to get me out.
Okay.
And that was the cow manure that spewed off his tongue that smelled worse than his daily...
His farts. That's what she wanted to say.
Honestly. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, but if you want to keep me, I'm not targeting any single one of you, but said dictator and his little Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah.
I thought she saved it at the end.
I don't know. You have to give like her Mr. Toad's wild ride there.
Yeah, she eventually got it back on the road there. Yeah, call it a bridge of the Cabbage Patch Kid. I mean, I was living for that. I was like, it was Big Brother 6 all over again with give me that key, bitch. Give me that key. So I actually like that. I give her props for that.
All right. Well, now Tiffany comes out and says, hey, Frank, I'm coming for you before we have the HOH. Now Frank's safe. Tiffany is vulnerable. Could this potentially have been a bad, like I felt like from reading all of the updates today, it seemed like that the group of five that was going to save Tiffany really felt like, oh, we'll get in Frank's head. He's going to be so blindsided. He's not even going to know which way is up by the time we got to the competition.
Yes. What is that? What is that? That never works. People on television, reality or otherwise, this never works. Like, seriously, they gave them this competition. They gave them the pictures to study. And if you don't know this, if you guys don't remember your Big Brother history, both Frank and Nicole won versions of this competition on their respective seasons of Big Brother. So it's no surprise when you get to the final three and there's Frank and Nicole waiting to take HOH from everybody else. The thing that was that got Michelle going was this picture competition. It was like a little spark to get a fire going. Once they saw what the competition was, they thought, you know, Frank was acting really cocky and they didn't want Frank to win. And they thought, you know, what better way to really get after Frank than to keep Tiffany? Then that'll really mess Frank up. But that never works. I mean, if anything, Frank is going to be more motivated to win ahead of household now that the house has not done what he asked them to do. I don't understand that thinking at all.
In fairness, as Tony's Llama in the chat brings up, I did subscribe to this when I said that Johnny Mac and Steve should have voted out Liz or Julia, whoever was on the block.
That because was then Liz the other and
twin,
Julia.
The other twin would have been thrown off.
This is not Frank.
That's probably true, though. That probably would have happened. I stand by that.
Frank is used to having his back up against the wall in the Big Brother house. If he would have been blindsided, he would have said, well, I'm back to the grind. I guess this is like Big Brother 14 all over again. He would have had no problem. Seriously. In fact, I think he feeds on that. Mm-hmm. I think Frank is a better player when he's got his back up against the wall and he's forced to act nice to people and he's forced to kiss. He's forced to be a kisser butter to people. I really do. I think that Frank in power is somebody that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree. I feel like that this, Could be. It could be fun. But now he's just nice and safe now. He's nice and cozy and doesn't even have to make any decisions. He can just sit back now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I want to be mad at Polly, but I don't know what to do. I'm just like, again, I don't know where to place my anger. That's my frustration. I am angry. I share your fury. However,
Polly Fury.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves.
No.
The boy needs his meat.
Yeah, and a snapback.
Oh my gosh, I start laughing like an old man when I really start laughing. You're like, anyway, so I don't know who to be mad at. I'm just mad. I'm like I said, I'm glad the show did an epic job at least of showing us mainly what happened this week. They left out a few parts or a few bulletin points, but I get why they left those parts out because they weren't, you know, exactly conducive to the story that they were telling. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I just think it's going to be a little bit of treading water, and that's why I think we're so frustrated.
So how do you hurt Frank? For the people that want to see Frank lose power in the house, because the whole thing was, oh, we're going to go after Frank, then we're going to go after Bridget, we're going to take her out. So now you can't get Frank, you can't get Bridget. If you're Pauly, who is the target? Who do you like? What can you do? What's the block you could take out of the Jenga board here that's going to help you?
I'm looking at the board and I don't know. I really don't know.
Is it Natalie? And then you piss off James.
I have to think it's Tiffany. I really do. I think it's going to be a rerun of last week. I think Tiffany's going to be the target. I think Natalie's going to go up as a pawn, and James is not going to like it. By the way, James was not exactly thrilled with this plan for two reasons. Number one, he was told very late in the process, but number two, he realizes that he's now down a team member, and also with Bronte out of the house now, Natalie becomes the go-to pawn, and he has become right. Very, very close to her.
Makes sense.
To the point where I feel like he's actually throwing away his game for like some girl from Venezuela. So I don't know why he's doing this.
Well, especially after Bronte had that talk with him on the Wednesday night episode. I'm sure that he does not want to see her go.
I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. I just think there's nothing there. I'm not buying it. And there may be something there from her standpoint, but I don't really think there's anything there from his standpoint. It seems like he hit the jackpot girl-wise with this gorgeous model, but I just don't think that there's any future for this relationship. Okay. And he was in a very good spot going into the last few weeks. So I don't know why he's doing this.
The chat room's really pushing. They think that Davon will be the target for Polly.
No, and I'll tell you why. I don't think so because Polly is obviously in a showmance with Zakiya. I don't think Zakiya will sign off on that. I really don't. I think that their bond is pretty deep. I know that she hasn't exactly been, you know, totally simpatico with Davon over the past week, but I feel like I don't see her signing off and saying, okay, I'm okay with my showmance getting out Davon. I can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. I mean, it was that the showmances plus Davon, but then that became what the showmances plus Nicole and Corey, and then who else were they going with? Then it was going to be with them with just James, and then Davon was on the outs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at the chat room. They were asking me questions. They were asking me if I watched the feeds last night. Yes, I watched the feeds last night, but I just, you know, it's one thing to talk smack about somebody who like that, but it's not. I mean, this was her final two. This was a girl that she has a strong bond with. I do not believe that Zakiya will be okay with Polly targeting Day. Polly was way more threatened with Tiffany up until last night and only got on board with the votes at the last minute once he saw that the train had already left the station. Are you telling me that he's just going to overlook her and go after Day to appease Frank? I mean, I don't see it.
Brett, do you think that this could be a week where the roadkill ends up being important, where if Polly doesn't have a big move that he wants to make, and I feel like that the precedent here from the Califuri brothers as HOH, and we've talked about this before on the show, is that they do tend to be consensus builders as HOH. What does the house want to do? And so if there is no strong option where it's like, okay, the house, that if he ends up going with, okay, Natalie and Paul are the nominees this week, and sort of just like, okay, weak sauce nomination, is it possible that maybe a roadkill nominee could emerge that ends up being sort of a threat that the house wants to take out?
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, there's only going to be 8 people voting come next week, so you're going to have
like,
5 votes.
What if Frank wins the roadkill again and then puts Dave Vaughn on the block?
Well, then it's going to take 5 votes to get her out, because I don't think Polly will go along with it if Tiffany's the other option.
He doesn't have a vote.
Well, he'll be the tiebreaker if there's only 8 people voting. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have 5 votes to get her out. I don't think that he'll co-sign going after Dave Vaughn. So we'll see. You know, to be fair to the people in chat room, they keep saying that, you know, that Zakiya's not the HOH. Polly's not the HOH. I get that. But, you know, Polly has allies in the house. His closest ally right now, I would say, is either Corey or Zakiya. And I don't think that Zakiya is going to be okay with going after Dave when Tiffany is sitting right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But didn't Polly spend political capital to keep her in the house? I mean, this would be such an about face after. I mean, all the feeds that I was watching, like, he was like talking up Tiffany. He's like, okay, Tiffany, you're in with us now. You're a part of this. And then to turn around and then throw her back under the bus, it just seems like what was the point of saving her in the first place?
Well, I think the point was that they were hoping that power was going to change hands come Thursday night. And now that it didn't, they have to make do with what they have. So, you know, I mean, look, I know he's still threatened by her. He thinks that she is Vanessa. You saw him on last night's episode where he was saying, you know, have you guys not seen this girl? Or maybe it was tonight's episode. They all run together for me. Mm-hmm. Where he was like, you know, have you seen this girl? Have you seen what her sister did last year? And, if one thing should become clear to the house guests by now, Tiffany is not Vanessa. She is not. She doesn't have the cojones, I don't think, to win a competition when she needs to, like Vanessa did. I mean, when the chips were down, you knew that Vanessa would come through. I can't say that about Tiffany yet.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. Oh, Tiffany has a photographic memory. That's why we need to keep Tiffany in the house, because she will win this. And would she go out on the third question?
Something like that. I'm like, if she has a photographic memory, how did she mess up the veto competition?
Yeah.
I mean, even I got those questions right, and I'm sitting at home not really paying attention. She was fighting for her big brother life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Photographic memory, my ass.
Right. This Pauly winning the HOH, it's like, let me make a football metaphor. This was sort of like a punt return, and it's like going, it ends up like going around, and you got to yell poison. You don't want to touch the punt, and then the other team is able to just pick it up. He needs to get out of there.
I thought you were going to say it's a punt return for a touchdown, but then it gets called back for a block in the back.
I don't know what
like
it
that.
Is, so, but it's
I know. I hear where you're coming from. It's a total letdown. We thought we were going to get what we wanted to, and then I think that the punt return for a touchdown being called back. So that's what it is. It feels like that. It feels like we were so close to what we wanted. We thought we had it. It was within our grasp, and then it was taken away from us by a twist, or from where you're sitting. I guess from where you're sitting, Polly's inability to throw the HOH competition.
Yeah.
We're just, it's weak sauce, Rob. We're going to have to eat it for another week.
Needs work, metaphor.
Yeah.
This is a damn good steak.
This is a damn big mistake. Okay. let's take some questions. Let's take some questions from the live audience. Da-ma says, why won't the Fatal Five and the Powderpuff / Spy Girls work together? Isn't the best move getting out Paul? No, the house loves Paul, right, Brent?
Yeah, the house loves Paul. I think they are getting annoyed by his
friendship.
Yeah, I think they're getting annoyed by that. So maybe he wants to tone it down just a little bit. But, what do you mean the Spy Girls? The Spy Girls are no more. It's like saying Charlie's Angels without Farrah Fawcett. She's not there anymore. She's gone. Please.
Let's go. Martin Schmidt wants to say, what day of the week is the best to bring up a big move? Early in the week in case you need time to backtrack, or late so it has less of a chance of a flip? I mean, this week we saw these things really come together Wednesday night when this plan happened.
As you saw in Big Brother 16 with Zach Rance's miraculous revival, these plans work best when you bring them up on Wednesday. You plant seeds throughout the week and, you know, water them a little bit and hope they grow Wednesday night, because people in the Big Brother house, look, all you know is that universe. They cannot keep a secret. You saw tonight there were 5 people. They all said to each other, okay, we're not going to tell a soul. We're not going to tell anybody. But then everybody starts thinking about their own personal survival. They want to make sure that their own allies are in on the loop, and then those people tell their allies. So by the end of it, you're only left with 2 people who didn't know what the heck was going on, and even those 2 people knew what was probably going to happen by the time they got to Tiffany's speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, how bad was Frank with this stuff where, you know, he has this really good, you know, alternative option. You know, I had said last night on the podcast with Taryn that I said, you know, I think that Frank sort of like touched the bottom of the pool. And now I kind of feel like he's back on the way up. And if Tiffany goes home as we thought she was going to at the time we were recording the podcast last night, you know, he's got this thing with Nicole and Corey and he's got Bridget. And that it looks like that maybe he might be able to come back. And then he goes and tells, and Nicole says, okay, just don't tell Michelle about this. And then he has to go tell Michelle about this. To why? To what end?
Rob, loose lips sink ships. I know I heard that somewhere. He just can't keep his mouth shut.
But it was like so cocky where it was like, okay, you need to win HOH this week. And I need to save it for a week where my back is against the wall. So then you be the HOH this time, and then I'll get it the time after that.
Oh, please. I've had to put up with that talk for the past 3 weeks. That's all they've talked about in the Big Brother house. So I get where the producers are coming from and finally putting up an individual competition where they literally can't, that where the house guests can't rig it the way they want to rig it. I know that the producers get very irritated when the house guests try to outthink the producers, or Big Brother as they call it. So I can see why they did this. It was just a bummer that it happened tonight of all nights.
Yeah. And I know everybody is upset about the teams too, but I don't blame the teams for this. I mean, we've had the teams for 4 weeks. It's not like they put the team twist in now. It's just that everybody knew the rules. Paulie knows he can't put Frank. If Frank's his target, he can't put him up if he wins HOH.
But Rob, you have to look at it from Paulie's standpoint. It was a live competition that he's blocked on both sides. He can't see who's in and who's out. The questions are coming fast and he doesn't know, well, if I throw this and I go home this week, I'm going to look like such a dumbass. So I better try to do my best here and I'll just deal with the consequences of trying to get Frank out next week.
How's he going home?
I paranoia runs rampant in the Big Brother house. You never know. For real, if somebody, like, he didn't know, was Natalie still in at some point? Maybe he didn't know that Natalie was out. So it's possible that Natalie would put him up on the block, him and Corey. Okay. I'm serious. He doesn't, like, you have to give him some credit for what happens during a live show. It happens so fast, and you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this. But when the lights are on, and you have to make a call whether or not you're going to really throw your one lifeline in the game, besides the veto, I think it's very hard to throw that competition.
All right, let's take some more questions. Hank Hardwell says, was Michelle's dramatic walk after the vote a bit of an overacting job? It reminded me of when he voted out McCray. Well, that was really great when that happened.
Yeah, come on.
That
don't even compare those two. Yeah, Andy lying to McCray. That was genius. Michelle stomping into the bathroom. She looked like she was rocking the runway there for a second. What was that?
No,
like, I mean, of all people, like, Frank doesn't really trust Michelle anyway. He's had a little bit of bad blood with her. So of the, you know, if he's looking for five, okay, who were the five people? Because two of the people who might be culpable were on the block in Paul and Bronte, Paul and Tiffany. So he's got to find five other people who voted against his wishes. I know that Michelle has to be at the top of that list.
Right.
His turn day.
The week that I got sold on Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
Big Meech did it.
Yeah. I'm sold on Michelle. I've been sold on Michelle for a couple weeks now. I really, really undersold her in our preseason rankings. I love what I'm seeing from her. She did what you said, basically went to sleep for the first couple of weeks, didn't even know she was on the show. I wasn't even sure the show was actually even going to show her tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were going to give all the credit to Mama Day.
Or James.
And then they did. Right, or they did show Michelle there at the end putting together this plan, so I was glad to see that. So, Michelle, I don't care if you don't like the sound of my voice. You go, girl.
Because, yeah, that's right. All right,
yeah.
Johnny DeSilvera says, with Bronte going over Tiff, who does a fan root for in the buyback comp now? The next evictee? No, you root for Glenn. You root for Glenn or you root for Jose. That's right.
I can get on board with everybody except for Victor. Victor is just a big bag of nothing. And ironically, at this point, if you're looking for an odds-on favorite to come back, I would say it's Victor, but I really don't want him back.
Yeah. You feel like that Victor has the best chance because, why, he's the biggest physical threat?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what kind of, I mean, we don't know what these competitions are going to be. And, you know, he saw the, we saw that he's not exactly a box of rocks when he won that roadkill competition and beat Frank. Frank said he did it in like, you know, 12 seconds and Victor beat him. So he's pretty smart.
Well, I mean,
at least as far as the comps, not the game.
If it ends up being, say, like a Natalie that goes out, I mean, we wouldn't expect it to be one of the more physical guys in the house. Obviously, it's not going to be Paulie. It's not going to be Frank this week. You would not expect a Corey. So it does sort of open up this battle back for this week, where really the person who goes out this week would only have to win one battle to get back into the house.
I would love that. You know, all of us fans were worrying about Frank being evicted this week and then coming right back in the house. But I think it would be even better television if Tiffany is evicted this week, wins one battle back competition and gets to say to Frank, I'm back. Yeah. So for the third time, he's got to deal with getting Tiffany out of the house.
I mean, in reality, the person who goes out this week has a 50-50 chance to get back into the house. They go out and then basically it's like, you know, Brendan versus LaJuan in whatever sort of competition they end up having, and they come back. Like, Glenn's got to win four battles. Person who goes out on Thursday only has to win one.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I know we were joking around about how this was going to play out, but now that there's a little bit of intrigue this week about X, I don't really know who the target is. By the way, I don't think it's going to be Natalie, unless the house is really threatened by James and Natalie's relationship. I really don't. I think Tiffany's the number one target. Day is probably number two, and... Yeah.
I mean, we just don't. I mean, last night we thought Bronte was going to, Taryn and I talked about how Bronte is going to be in the house for many weeks.
Well, that's why you have me on the show instead of Taryn. I know what's going on.
Hey, what you know didn't happen yet.
I know. I get to see everything. See, I love coming on the show because I look like a genius because I know everything that already happened.
Yeah,
so
you didn't make any incorrect predictions during the week.
Right, exactly.
All right. William Northrup says, won't that speech worry Tiffany's side going forward? I got the feeling that they put her up to that speech. Don't you, Brent?
Well, they egged her on. They did not put her up to it, but they didn't force her to do it. She had a bone to pick with Frank, and she said, oh, I'm going to make my speech epic now. And they were like, yeah, girl, you do that. You go. So they were on board with the speech, but they weren't pushing her for it. But, you know, it was great TV. I love that she made an effort. She's graduated to the Dan Gieseling school of trying to be fun on the live show and make good television.
Yeah.
But maybe a C for execution.
Yeah. Okay. And an F on the execution in the HOH challenge.
Yeah, where's that photographic memory, girl?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, Byron Hussey says, don't say Hussey. Bridget won the HOH in veto, but lost a third of her alliance. Worst HOH ever. Yeah, Brent, sometime in this offseason, when you and Jordan, Alex, and Taryn do a podcast about the 10 worst HOH stints of all time, where do you think Bridget will factor in here?
Oh, wow. It's got to be pretty bad. Not only did she have HOH, but then she won the veto.
Yes.
But I take less of an issue with Bridget than I do with Bronte. Bronte probably could have got her to use the veto if she really wanted to. And she actually said in the diary room, I'm okay with the veto not being used because I don't want my good friend Natalie to go on the block. Bronte, girl, if Natalie goes on the block in your place, I think she has an inherently better shot of staying this week and Tiffany being eliminated. So, you know, you just totally sealed her fate by agreeing to stay on the block. I'm sorry. That was terrible gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's working for Paul, though. I mean, he's been on the block, what, every week so far?
Yeah. He got vetoed the 1 week.
He got vetoed the 1 week.
Right. Well, at least I'm actually glad he got vetoed that 1 week because we didn't have to hear a speech from him on eviction night, which I'm really getting tired of seeing. Really getting tired of it. Like, I think it was like a 45-second speech, and Julie said it was supposed to be brief. I'm hoping that they give him a note in the diary room and say, tone it down a little bit.
Like, the thing for Paul is that he thinks that this friendship thing is what everybody's like that's what's putting him over with people. Like he's like, oh, everybody's probably loving the friendship thing. In fact, like he would have a 100% approval rating, 130% even, if he would drop the friendship thing.
I think it's like Adam Pock with the bacon thing where people just think, oh, it's so funny. It's bacon. He loves bacon. He just keeps saying it all the time. You think it's funny. But people on the outside are like, I really can't stand this guy when he does that. Like,
I mean, I don't hate it, but it's wearing on people.
I hate it. Oh, I hate it. I have to listen to it all the time. Seriously. Can't stand it. Stop doing it.
Some people in the chat do like it, they're saying. All right. Then let's take from Castiel. How detrimental is it to get a week ahead of yourself in BB like Frank has been doing?
Well, it's detrimental when you don't know what the heck you're doing. Like Frank, I mean, Frank was already talking like this week was already in the books. Like he already had everything wrapped up. You know, I can't remember who it was on your podcast who was saying, maybe it was Audrey in your RapCon chat with Andy Heron and Taryn and Alex. That was really good, by the way, where she said that he does not have a self-perception. He cannot perceive how other people are perceiving him. He just thinks he's a great guy and everybody loves him. And, you know, if they come after me, I heard him say on the feeds earlier today that if they try to come after me, they're going to be on an island. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true, Frank, because they didn't do your wishes this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that how Frank reacts to this, I think, will be fun to watch. I mean, I think it really will be fun to watch Frank squirm if he does. But we just don't have the threat or the possibility that either him or Bridget could go out on this episode, on this week.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to be fun, but I'm hoping he does get a little more cocky now that he is safe, because he's going to start interrogating people and finding, you know, who voted the way I wanted them to and who didn't. And he's not going to be able to get to five votes because everybody's basically going to deny. I think the only people who might own their votes are maybe Day and...
Well, here were the votes for Bronte. You have Mish. She's safe, though, this week. She's on Frank and Polly's team. You have Nicole, who it looked like Frank was getting a little salty with Nicole in the storage room when the episode ended.
And Nicole was denying to Frank that she voted the wrong way. And earlier in the day, she was actually thinking about switching with somebody else. Even though she knew what the plan was, she wanted to be able to say with a straight face to Frank that I swear I voted Tiffany out. But now she can't say that. And Nicole is a terrible liar. I swear she's going to get caught.
Okay.
She's going to get caught.
So maybe she in the mix? Is it possible that, Paulie is so tight with Corey. Yeah.
No, Paulie was in on that plan. I mean, he knows why Nicole's lying, so he's not going to, Frank comes to him and saying, Nicole can't be trusted, she's lying to me. You know, Paulie's going to be like, yeah, I know why she's lying to you. I was in on that plan.
Okay.
So, no, there's no way Nicole's going to go on
the
block.
All right, so Zakiya, no way Paulie is going to put her up. Corey, no. And then you have Devon. I feel like could that potentially be the center of the Glenn diagram where the two sides come together?
I say no. I do not believe that Devon will be targeted this week. I think your nominees will be Tiffany and Natalie. And I can't say about the roadkill because we don't know who's going to win it, but I really do feel like it's going to be Tiffany and Natalie. Mark it down.
I mean, do you think that even if Tiffany was the target, I mean, could you see him putting her up in that spot? I mean, that she just was on the block. They went through all of the trouble to save her. I mean, isn't that going to just completely set her off for the entire week? That hey, what are you doing to me? I thought we killed the dictatorship.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is a weird spot because the people who are safe are basically the targets.
Dictatorship.
And it's so infuriating that Frank's right-hand woman, Bridget, is also on his team. So you can't even take a strike at her and get her out. So I don't know what they're going to do this week. I really do feel like I said, Paulie, I go back to what I said. Paulie is threatened by Tiffany because he sees her as Vanessa. Now that he can't get Frank or Bridget out, those feelings will take hold. Look for Tiffany to be the target this week. I don't care what they said last night. Now it's a new week.
Yeah. My brother Cody told me if there's somebody in the house that's a sibling of a former player, I gotta get them out.
Well, I mean, he's looking at himself. Like, it's so funny,
yes,
too, because she's actually pretty loyal to him. She's not Vanessa. That's the one thing. You know, I saw Vanessa earlier this week tweeting that, she was upset that Day was seeing Tiffany as Vanessa. And I'm like, can you really blame them? I mean, she acts like her. She has the same mannerism. She talks like her. She looks like her. The only thing that's different is her personality, and they are starting to see that, but it may be too late. And when Big Brother, you go with the things that you know, and what they know is that she looks and sounds and has the mannerisms of Vanessa, so they don't want to be like the idiots who fall for the same trick again. It's like Survivor All-Stars, where the people that they wanted to get out were the winners because they didn't want to have those people say, I got you again. Like when you were on the show, I don't want to have Sister Yanino laughing at me in his confessions saying, I got him again. So let's get those people out and I can deal with the consequences after that.
Brent, I haven't had a bad enough night. We got to revisit this.
I'm sorry. It just came to me.
Jill Robinson says, do you think that James voted for Tiffany because he was out of the final loop or because he's playing both sides? Talk about the James vote. James votes to evict Tiffany, but this was all part of the plan, correct?
This was all part of the plan. They wanted it to be 5-4, so they had plausible deniability if something weird happened and Frank became the head of household. So and it's 5-4, and it's very close. So Frank's like, well, who turned and who didn't? If it was like, you know, 8-1, the whole house would basically have to cop to being in on the plan, but now they can all sort of lie about it.
Okay. All right. Let's take a couple more questions, and then the chat room wants to discuss who some names that Paulie is throwing around on the live feed, so I'll play the spoiler music for that. Alex Honer says, gotta imagine Paulie was one of the only house guests that didn't want this HOH. He was in a good position. Now he has to pick a side. You would think so. You would think that that would be what he was thinking.
You know, it's new players. I mean, I know he's related to Cody, but it's a live show. I'm sorry. I cut him some slack here. You know, you have one chance to win HOH once a week. You're bored to death. You know, you get to sleep up in that big room and be safe for the entire week. He didn't know who else was competing. I'm not gonna bag the guy because of it. I just can't.
When I think back to Big Brother 16 and what my brother and Derek would have done, they were the hitmen. And so if they had a chance to win a hat, then you got to go and get a hat. I'm going to make an alliance with Corey, and I'll call it the Hat Man. And that's going to be my alliance. We'll be the Hat Man.
I was going to say the Califurious was our hashtag, but the Hat Man might have to be there.
We'll be the
as
new
well.
Final two. And we'll get a hat man, gosh. And then I'll take him out for a nice steak dinner.
Oh, this is a
God.
Damn
the
good
hat
steak.
Man. Yeah. Save me. Oh, my God.
Jaden Spliff says, was Bronte auditioning with her cuteness overload in the exit interview? Can we talk about her acting jobs? Wow. Jaden is blown away by Bronte.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is my little bone to pick with CBS and Big Brother, because when they do so much of this buyback stuff, it encourages people to act like Bronte on their way out of the house, when what we really want is, you know, skull and crossbones, going after people, telling it like it is. But if they feel like there's a chance they're going to come back, they're going to act nice and sweet. And then you heard her saying, well, I'm so glad I didn't say what I really wanted to say. No, it's reality television. We want you to say what you really wanted to say. Tell us that. But yep. No, she didn't do that.
Okay.
Damn it.
Poor Bronte. All right. We'll see her next. We'll see her next Friday. I'm very excited for the battle back, Brent.
I'm moderately excited about it. I want to see how it goes. But at least it's not going to be Frank walking back in again. And I have to hold my breath. I there's still the possibility that Tiffany could be evicted, come right back in, and Frank could go out pre-jury. I'm living for that possibility right now.
All right. Keith Style says, why is Big Brother yet to get rid of the team twist? What upside do they see in it, if any? Now, Brent, it is a fair question to say, okay, we had the team twist at the beginning of the season. Now, it's almost like the team twist is basically the BB takeover, where we're sort of not even mentioning it anymore. It has nothing to do with anything other than, oh, yeah, by the way, there's like three other people you're attached to. And if you win the HOH, they're also safe. Like we have nothing. We're not even having team competitions. It's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, we forgot there's still this team twist. I mean, if you're a casual viewer of the show, do you even know what the teams are, that the teams exist, or that because Paulie won the HOH that by proxy Frank is safe this week?
No, that's my biggest issue with it, is that you can't tell who's on what team. It's not like they make them wear different T-shirts with different colors or anything. You have no idea who's safe and why. And if you even know who these people are, and I can understand where people who are watching the show say, you know, Michelle is safe. Who's Michelle? I haven't seen her on the show lately. So, you know, there's no point to the team twist at this point. But I feel like they were always going to end the team twist at the same time that the buyback happened. So, you know, I'm sorry. This was the last week we had to put up with it. I'm sure we won't have to see it next week. And by the way, I want to say something really quickly. Given that they're going to hold a new head of household, most likely next Thursday, and then the buyback happens on Friday, it's likely that whoever comes back into the house at that point will be safe from eviction. They'll give them 1 week to reintegrate themselves back into the house. So if it is Tiffany and she does get evicted and comes back, she should she'll be able to make it to jury.
And when you say if it is Tiffany, what you mean to say is when it is Glenn,
Oh, well, I hope it's Glenn. That would be intriguing. I would love to see what Glenn would do. But
wouldn't
you know,
that
if he
be
does,
so fun, though, if it's Glenn? I'll be really just going to bed every night dreaming of Glenn coming into the house. It'll be a house guest that we have no idea.
I mean, if it is him, then he deserves it. Because as you heard Julie say, it's day 30 in the Big Brother house. By next week, it will have been day 37. Glenn has been in a hotel room somewhere in Los Angeles for the past 37 days, you know, like just waiting for his chance. And I'm sure Glenn is hoping it's not like, Keith in Big Brother 13, where he had to stay in a hotel and then he had no chance of getting back into the house whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Let's play the spoiler music so we can talk about a little bit about maybe who Paulie has in mind. Of course, that we will be doing a real quick update on Friday. We'll talk about potential news overnight and anything that might have developed. We'll do that on Friday. And then on Sunday night, we'll be back with Taron Armstrong in his regular spot to talk about the actual episode, and then we'll get into the roadkill and all that stuff on Sunday night. All right, here's the spoiler, short version.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning. Protective action should be taken.
Short version. Okay. Short version. Okay. Brent. All right. So what are the names that are being bandied about right now?
Well, Frank is saying that he told Polly to put up Tiffany and Day, as I said, number one, number two targets. I think it's going to be Natalie, though, at the end of the day. I've been, you know, there's nobody else on the show, so I have to, like, listen to you the entire time to make sure that I don't, like, you know, go off in Neverland. So I haven't been reading the spoilers. I don't know what else is happening besides that. I'm trying to, like, flip through everything really quickly. Frank tells Nicole that he wants Day out. And by the way, that's something that really hasn't been covered on the show enough. The one thing that might be the fly in the ointment as far as my prediction about Day being safe is Nicole, for some reason, has a very weird anti-Davon stance. And it all stems from Davon's inability to keep her mouth shut when they proposed that final five with, you know, the two showmances and her, the fifth wheel alliance or whatever it was called. And Davon not only did not accept it, but made her feelings about it known and then went and told James, who then told Nicole. So Nicole is very anti-Day at this point. And I'm sure if she's looking for cover and the rats are all scurrying off the ship, as Nicole looks like she is because she just asked somebody, do you think I'm safe with Polly? I think she'd be happy to see Day go up in her place.
Okay. Potentially, if Davon went up on the block, I mean, does Polly have the votes in the house to get rid of Davon? Certainly, you have Frank and Bridget, who, you know, Bridget would do whatever Frank said to do. But outside of that, I mean, is there enough sentiment in the house to send Davon out? Do they have two more votes for that?
I mean, if Nicole and Corey, who aren't exactly the biggest fans of Davon, again, you know, for all Davon's talking about getting Tiffany to stay this week, she wasn't the one who was part of the plan initially. She was told, like, as an add-on at the end. So they don't really trust Davon as much as they trust the people in their little five-way alliance, the two showmances and Michelle. I could see Nicole and Corey providing the third and fourth votes to get Day out, and then Polly could be the tiebreaker. But again, I don't see Polly making that move without Zakiya. I think ultimately, if they did try to get Davon out, it would probably be a 5-3 vote.
Anyway, it should be an eventful night on the live feeds. If you want to go ahead and check out the live feeds, I believe you get a week for free. Go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds if you're not already on board. Brent, anything else from the week in Big Brother tonight's episode?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I was really, really disappointed with Bronte, you know, like being a friend to Natalie and saying, well, I really, you know, I love that girl. I didn't want her to go up on the block in my place. I mean, what kind of game are we playing, Rob Cesternino? We're playing for $500,000. And this chick sits out there and says, well, it's my friend Natalie. So I didn't want her to be in danger. So I'm happy to fall on my sword. No, we don't want those kind of players in the house. We want people who are going to be self-interested. Say what you want about Polly, and I know you're not the biggest fan, but the thing that ultimately brought it over, besides the fact that they had the votes, was him realizing that if Bronte won head of household, she would put up Corey and Polly. And, you know, ultimately, he's caring about self-preservation, and so that's why he voted to evict her.
Yeah, I'm not going to get worked up about Bronte not doing, like, I have no, like, Bronte is gone, and I'm very okay with that outcome. She seems like she's probably very nice, but she has, I felt like, almost no potential to be a real player in this game, so I don't mind her going out fourth here in the season.
I'm fine with it. I just wish that she would have fought for her spot a little bit more. That's all.
Okay. All right, let's do a couple more questions before we sign off for tonight. This is from Ethan C. Would Pauly make it further in the game if he aligned with Frank? I feel if Pauly were to stick with the girls, he would be picked off early in jury. Thoughts? I mean, I've said that for a while. I don't understand why Pauly doesn't want to go with Frank.
I mean, I think it's one of the paths that he could take at this point. You know, he's on his team. He has plausible deniability here. That's the third time I've said it tonight. I won't say it again. But, he doesn't have to cop to the fact that he voted to evict Bronte. I think that that's just one of his options at this point. I ultimately don't think he'll take it. I think he likes being surrounded by Zakiya and Michelle and Nicole and Corey. I think those are kind of like the cool kids. And Frank is decidedly not the cool kid at this point. So, you know, you saw it a little bit with Cody in Big Brother 16, how, you know, there was an in alliance, you know, as opposed to being an out alliance. If you were in the alliance, you know, you were good. But if you were out, you know, he didn't really have any time for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Wyatt Moyer says, is Zakiya voting with Davon instead of Pauly enough proof that she is more loyal to Davon than Father Frenching Pauly?
Let's take it easy with that.
Davon and Pauly were both on the same side in this vote, Wyatt. They both voted to evict Bronte here. So.
Right. Although I do see Davon lamenting on the feeds that we should have sent Tiffany's ass home tonight. I don't know why. I think they're really bummed about the fact that Frank is safe and they can't get their frustrations out. It's like this happened last week too, where they can't get their frustrations out.
I think that they were sort of like, okay, well, we kept Tiffany around. She was supposed to win the HOH.
Yep. And she didn't even make what the
like if Bronte would have won HOH, everybody would be sitting pretty right now.
I don't know about that. Maybe. I'm not sure if Bronte... I'm not sure who... I think Bronte would have gone after Corey and Pauly or two strong men. I don't know if she necessarily goes after Frank because she would have listened to Bridget and Bridget wouldn't have let her go after Frank.
Okay. All right. At least Frank would be eligible for the roadkill. Jenna McDaniel says, can Frank use this week to rebuild his game or is it too late? All right. Rob has a PR firm. Okay. So we get maybe 10 minutes to go in and talk to Frank. And it doesn't seem like anything that Mike Boogie was trying to tell Frank sunk in. But let's just pretend, all right, we get to go in and we're like, Emmett and Jillian coming in to try to coach up Frank here for a little bit. What are we going to tell him to do, Brent?
He just has to be more aware of the people around them and their body language that they're giving him. He seems completely oblivious to that. You saw that in tonight's episode that he didn't understand how people could be against him. He doesn't take dissent well. I guess that's where some of the people in the house might be coming from in that, you know, I said they made a mess of this plan when all they really needed to do was go to Frank and say, hey, we find Bronte inherently more threatening than Tiffany. Maybe they, you know, maybe Frank wouldn't really accept that as an answer, but I feel like in the Big Brother house, you have to force him to accept that answer and get him to see the game on your terms. Right now, Frank is playing the game on his terms. Everybody in the house realized that. Davon even said on the feeds, you know, I didn't sign up for that to play Frank's game. So now that he's gotten a little bit of his own medicine, I'm hoping that he might come down to earth, but don't count on it. If Big Brother 14 is, if past his prologue, I don't believe that he's going to change his game whatsoever.
And then also respect the no-no zone of the other house guests.
Yes, I wasn't even here to talk about that. I was personally offended by it and then even more offended by the fact that he didn't really seem to know that there was anything wrong with touching Davon in that manner. I do agree with some people who said that maybe Davon reacted a little bit more than she might have otherwise because she already hates Frank and there's no outlet to get rid of that in the Big Brother house. But still, it shouldn't have happened. And if Pauly didn't say something, I would have hoped that the Big Brother producers would have said something to him.
Okay. Brent Showerman, another Brent. How much credit does Tiffany deserve for this blindside, if any? We really didn't get to see her campaign at all. So, yeah, how much credit do we owe Tiffany? I mean, back in Big Brother 16, when Zach rants the vote flipped to save him. He slept through the whole thing. He didn't even know what was going on. So how much credit do we give Tiffany?
None. She basically slept through the whole thing. I mean, they did go and tell her once they secured the five votes. Hey, but by the way, she never thought she was going home in the first
place. But she didn't freak out over being on the block. You have to give her credit for that, because I feel like that it was sort of a we saw her in week two with the roadkill, right? When she gets put up on the block in that spot, that she did not handle that well. So she did do a good job of keeping her cool throughout this whole week.
Right. I'll give her 1% for that and 1% for the speech, because the speech was, she tried to be epic. It wasn't epic, but she tried. And so I'll give her credit for that.
Just one
but
for
other
the
than
fences.
That, yeah, she wasn't, she had nothing to do with this tonight. She really didn't.
All right. One last question. Alex is, what is Tiffany's best plan to not be evicted this week? Brent, could you outline that for Tiffany?
Yes, she needs to. I mean, she knows who the votes were to keep her. So she needs to go straight to Frank and say, look, you know, we need to squash this between us and try to form something there with Category 4. I'm hoping that that might take, but I think that train has left the station. And even if she does patch things up with Frank, that might make her more threatening to the rest of the house, because now they're not thinking that she's going to go after Frank. They might be worried that Tiffany has become Vanessa and will go after all of them. So I don't know that she can do a whole lot. She really needs to just go to Polly, try to make sure that she's on his good side, and throw a few other people under the bus, you know, and expose. Well, no, she can't, because I keep thinking Frank's HOH because he's safe, but he's not safe. It's Polly that's HOH. So I don't know what she can do.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to workshop that.
Should be some interesting, not the fireworks that we hoped for, but definitely still some intrigue to work itself out. We'll have an update in the morning probably around 1 p.m. Eastern time to discuss what's gone on overnight. And then we'll be back on Sunday night for our live show with Taryn Armstrong. So, Brent, what's the hashtag tonight? What do you want? You want to go with Kali of Furious or Hatman?
I think Califurious is inherently better than Hatman. I mean, Hatman was hilarious. I was literally like giggling like an old man when you said that, but it's got to be Califurious.
Yeah. All right. And then next week we'll see who ends up returning to the house after they win the battle snapback.
Yes, I'm very excited to see it. Hopefully they know how to execute this well. And I'm very interested to see who is ultimately evicted, who comes back, and what is the reaction of the house when they see somebody like Glenn or the Messiah come back into the house and reintegrate themselves back into the house.
Yeah, would love to see the Messiah.
I'm like a Messiah for the newbies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he came back, that would be probably a top three all-time Big Brother moment, right? When the Messiah returns into the house.
I would love it just for the great feeds. And like I said, the fact that he's cut that they, whoever it is coming back on a Friday after the HOH has already been determined means that whoever that is going to be safe. So Jose or whoever going back into the house for a week, it has to be Jose if we want good feeds, going back into the house for a week, knowing that he's safe and basically getting to rule the roost and, you know, go after the people who evicted him the first time. That would be good TV.
That'd be great. All right. Well, Brent, great job. Happy to have you back from your trip. Brent was out in Vegas this week. Good trip to Vegas.
Great trip to Vegas. Had a lot of fun. Was on the runway a little bit. Had a photo shoot. But besides that, I have a good time in Vegas and got most of my money back on the last night. So I was really thrilled about that.
All right. Good work. You can follow Brent on Twitter. He's at OneLuckyGay and watch him every week on the reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar live on Mondays. It's very fun to watch or listen every week. Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on reality TV Rehap Ups. And for you Mr. Robot fans out there, don't miss the Mr. Robot post-show recap with Josh Wiggler and Antonio Mazzaro on post-show recaps. They did a two-hour breakdown of the season premiere from last night, and looking forward to listening to that myself. And if you are on Screen Junkies Plus, you could check me out on a video Mr. Robot after show that I'm going to be doing this season for them on Screen Junkies Plus, if you have that subscription. All right. So that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and great job by Brent as usual. And thanks for talking this through with us, a little bit of just like you know, exhale and try to, you know, this is my big brother therapy to talk this through, Brent. So thank you for being patient with me as it was a frustrating night after all the hype this afternoon.
I'm always here for you, Rob. And by the way, for those of you who have never watched our Feeds show on Monday in the Big Brother Happy Hour, it literally has become one of my favorite shows. I watched back the last two shows that we did, and having all three of us plus Jordan Parhar there to just talk Feeds, you know, nonstop for an hour and a half to 2 hours, it's just great, great, great fun. Please be a part of it. Come ask questions, be a part of it, and have a great time with us.
Yeah, it's a fun round table every week that you guys do. So definitely check that out on the reality TV.
I get to harass Taryn.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.